Hello, everyone. Welcome to Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. I'm your host, Willie Morales. And on today's show, I have Joe Bell, who's a real estate wealth and expert coach and was featured as one of Alaska's top 40 under 40. He also has a book out called Assets, Acquisition, and Abundance, A Guide to Building True Wealth and Legacy Through Real Estate. Joe, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for having me, William.
No, it's my pleasure. So, Joe, one of the things I want, I always ask an entrepreneur like yourself, did you know you always wanted to be in real estate or at least an entrepreneur? Did by the age of five, did you know what you wanted to do?
No, real estate entrepreneur was nowhere in the vision at all. I was actually supposed to be playing Major League Baseball. That was the vision.
That was my vision too, until I found out that I couldn't hit a curveball, a slider, or a fastball.
Yeah, that'll drop you in the ranks real quick, unfortunately. I had a good run. I played some D1 baseball in college. But
who did you play with?
I played for the University of Hawaii for a couple of years, and then got tired of being on the rock and transferred out to Iowa State University in the Big 12, and got to play out there for a year before they cut their program. And at that point, I was a junior going into my senior year, and it was like, man, that was going to be a hard task to find a spot for my senior year. So ended up coming back home to Alaska and played with some of the semi-pro teams up here for a few more years, lived out that dream, and then found my way into real estate.
Well, listen, I mean, at least you got to play some baseball in college, and I guess would you call it like semi-pro baseball or?
Yeah, it's labeled as semi-pro, and really what it is it's a group of guys from around the nation that are flown up here for the summer, and they battle it out. There's six in the league, and it's really, really great competition. For a while there, the Alaska Baseball League and the Cape Cod League were, kind of battling it out, but I think Cape Cod's always been the better summer league. Right. So we had some really great competition. And if you go back in the day, I mean, you have Randy Johnson, Mark McGuire, Barry Bonds. I mean, you've had some major names come through this league. So it was a great experience to be a part of it.
That is so cool. I mean, and listen, at least you got to play, man, it's more than some other people could say. So you got into real estate. How old were you? Were you in your early 20s, late teens, early 20s when you got into real estate?
Yeah, I was about 26 when I got my license. It was pretty funny. So after getting done with baseball, I went into instruction, kind of the natural path for the those of us that don't quite fit the, pro level. Sure. So I went right into coaching, and I was coaching for a group of really talented players from around the state. And one of the coaches on that staff was a longtime commercial real estate guy. And I kept kind of hounding him. And he's like, you know what? Sure, I'll help you get into real estate, more on the transactional side, becoming a real estate licensee. But first, I need you to help me with my bar, right? And I was like, okay, yeah, tell me more. And so I got into this conversation with him to where I was going to purchase a liquor license, help maintain some of the neighborhood relationships, and take over this bar. Kind of like every guy's dream in my mind, right? At least my dream.
Yeah.
So, man, I ran real quick at that. Quickly found out that a lot of my friends who said they're my friends were not my friends and were not willing to support me. That was a really hard ego blast. And then just found that, counting money at 3:30 and 4 a.m. On a nightly basis just wasn't really in my wheelhouse. And it was, there was none of the appeal, none of the sexiness in running a bar that I expected to be there. Yeah. And so I lasted about 9 months in that whole game, and then went back over to the commercial real estate guy. And I said, all right, this isn't going to work. You can have your liquor license. Help me with the reins on real estate. So I got in about 26.
Okay. And what was your, can you remember your first deal and what was it?
One of my very first deals. So I went in as a more on the commercial side, right? Commercial real estate was going to be my gig moving forward. Gotcha. And I had this deal very early into the game. It was passed down to me from my mentor, and it was a $900,000 deal. I worked on it for about 6 months. I got to the closing table, like no shit, to the closing table, and the whole thing blew up in my face. And I watched, I watched about $27,000 slip through my fingers in that one quick exchange, and realized commercial real estate might not be my gig.
Okay. So, if you could explain more, like what happened that deal fell through, and then from that point on, where did you go from there?
Yeah. So, realistically, I mean, it was pretty cut and dry. We had a couple of challenges, a couple of red flags that, being newer into the industry, I didn't catch in regards to the buyer's ability to finance the deal. Mm-hmm. And so when we got to the closing table, quite frankly, the buyer just couldn't perform. And so that's why the deal didn't move forward. And, and from there, I licked my wounds, and back in, that was 2006, lead generation was, you know, grabbing a phone book and dialing out of that phone book, because I didn't have a lot of people in my sphere at 26 that were ready to go off and start buying homes or buying investment properties or anything along those lines. So I had to figure it out as quick as possible. And unfortunately, it didn't come as quick as I wanted it to, because there were many a months where I had to ask my girlfriend to, cover our mortgage payments and help take care of the financial side of, you know, this pursuit towards real estate. But I kept telling her, I was like, look, I know that real estate at this time, like real estate was now in my loins. Like I was going to find a way to make it happen. Right. Kind of like baseball. I got, damn it. I wasn't going to let this failure hold me back. I was going to find a way. And so, she helped cover me, for a couple of critical months while I was out there searching, looking, you know, uncovering rocks, trying to figure it out at that point. And all it took was one relationship, one conversation, quite frankly, to change my trajectory in real estate. Right. And that's what I tell everybody, right? The idea of relationship building and networking and all that is, you just never know what conversation you're going to have. You never know who you're going to meet. And that's why you continuously search out those conversations, and you never know where one's going to lead you. And luckily for me, I found an investor. They were, it was a husband and wife, quite a bit older. They took to my girlfriend and I, who, by the way, is now my wife of 10 years. So she was a winner. Big congrats. Like I definitely married up in that regard. But we ended up hooking up with this couple that had years of experience in real estate. And I just kind of kept poking the bear, like, hey, help me out. Hey, give me a chance. Hey, you know, and finally I got a call. I don't know if I'm embellishing on the time of year to make the story seem cool, but at this point, like, it was Christmas Eve. It was like 9 o'clock on Christmas Eve. I didn't have any kids. My girlfriend and I at the time were just hanging out. Sure. I get this call, and it's this investor, and he's like, hey, come meet me at this fourplex. It's frozen. Bring some boots. Right. And I'm like, all right, yeah, shit, I'll be there. And I show up, we get into the crawl space, and there, because it was frozen, I mean, we're in Alaska, right?
Yeah.
Properties freeze quite a bit. And there's a lot of what I perceived as water down in the crawl space. So we go in, and I kind of start looking around, and there's stuff that's floating down there, which isn't unusual in a crawl space, right? I mean, insulation,
right. Debris,
all kinds of stuff. But it turns out, like, legitimately, the sewer burst underneath this fourplex. So I'm standing in shit water, right?
Wow. No, it's okay.
Vanity. No, I'm standing in it, and I'm like, man, this is exactly where I want to be. I promise.
At that point, I didn't mean to control. So you really said that, like, hey, this is okay. This is part of the process, or
it was disgusting, right? Like, I mean, there definitely was that aspect to it, but you know, what kind of job or day-to-day activity do you have a swing from, you know, sitting at a desk, making phone calls, hammering for leads, to all of a sudden you're standing in a crawl space. It happened to be full of somebody else's feces, but how often do you have that kind of activity? And it was exciting for me, right? Yes, disgusting, right? But at the same time, it was like, man, this is what really drives me. You know, moving forward, I want to be a part of these sorts of scenarios, because when you take a step back from that specific situation, for me, it's always been, how do I add value into assets, right? Whether that's a person, whether that's a structure, whether that's a business, whatever that asset is, how do I provide value and create some arbitrage where it creates a benefit to me?
Right.
And so this cued me into that aspect of real estate investment, where it's like, yeah, this is a shitty situation, mind the pun, but we turned it into an amazing situation and profited heavily for our investors at that time, because we weren't quite interacting with them at that level.
Right.
But man, it was such a cool experience. And it's a great story. And again, I may be embellishing on the time of year, but it was definitely in December and it was very close to Christmas.
Right, right. Wow. I mean, that's a great story. So then from there on, did you go on a purchasing spree, or you still were learning as you went along with your mentor and did your sphere started growing more? Did you start adding more people to your network as you went along? Because like you said earlier, some of your friends weren't your friends anymore, but now, you know, you changed courses, you know, right. How did that go along?
You know, I think the investors that I was down in the crawl space with, I think they saw a little bit of themselves in us and saw that we were hungry and we were motivated and we wanted to be a part of this. And so they took us in under their wing, and we created a business from there where we participated at a very small percentage. They provided a lot of the resources, but it was my job to go and grind out and find the acquisitions.
Right.
And so as a result, we ended up being able to increase our percentages over the years. We were in business for about 5 years before they ended up retiring. But we took in that time, we took about 180,000. We participated at about 25%. They were at 75% of that amount. And we grew that from 180 to 330,000 in those 5 years. Right.
Wow,
which isn't, it's not a huge gain, but it is a gain as a young individual
that meant
a lot, and all the experience I was able to take from that and move forward. Now we've created a group to where we're building a fund. And now we have, you know, if I really needed to scratch and claw, we could probably access a couple million dollars if necessary, right? So we took all those experiences. We took the minimal amount of money that we received from those investments, and we just kept pushing them forward into new projects. And it turned out to be a really great benefit for us. And, you know, now we're sitting in a really good place where we have access to cash. We have a network of investors, and, you know, I can jump on the phone and I can go dial for dollars much easier than I could 10 years ago.
Right. And that's because you built a reputation, you followed through, and then people saw themselves in you, like, hey, these guys are hustlers. These guys are ready to move. They're not kicking the tires. So as you grew your business, Joe, like what's the first team member someone should have on their team first? Should it be a realtor, a broker, an assistant? What would you suggest?
Find the money.
That should be the first one.
Right? No, you know, finding the asset and finding the money kind of go hand in hand. You know, I hate to say if you find the right asset, the money will show up. It's very true. But at the same time, you know, you really need to focus on what's going to give you some authority and some leverage in that regard, whether it's attaching to a real estate professional, you know, or somebody else that's already out there doing it. I find that is the easiest and quickest way to leverage yourself out, right? Okay. So for me, it would be if you don't already have a coach, you don't already have a mentor, that is probably the best direction to go first. And then having a really great real estate professional in your pocket, which we're licensed real estate professionals. So we check that box ourselves. But having somebody like that is seeing the inventory day in and day out, is an absolute benefit to your program, because if they understand your goals and they are willing to be a part of your group to where they're, you know, maybe they have the opportunity to actively participate, which is a really big deal. And I could go down a very slippery slope with that piece of it. But sure. If you can find that person that is willing to send you over opportunities, that is probably one of your first focuses when building out your team. Because from there, if you have the asset, which is why the book is called Assets, Acquisitions, and Abundance.
Yeah.
If you have the asset, then you can go shop for the dollars.
And so shopping for the dollars. Now, we always hear, you know, at the beginning, maybe we should try family and friends. What do you think about that? Because I'm going to be honest with you, Joe, for me on the family side, definitely didn't work.
Yeah.
And even on some of my friends that I tried to get, you know, to try to start a business, yep. That didn't work until, right. You know, some of my coaches and mentors and people that I know say, listen, they have to, in their opinion, they should be in the same field because they could definitely right. guide you through some, you know, mazes, so to speak. What do you say to that then? I mean, should we not count on friends and family for support, at least financial support anyway? I know it's a tough question and I don't want to put you on the spot.
Oh, no. It, you know, we don't do a lot of active investing with our family.
Okay.
The worst case scenario is you're at a family barbecue and Uncle Jerry's across, you know, the table and he's like, oh man, Joe's such a great guy. You know, although he kind of, you know, hit us for a bad investment, you know, along the way. Like, I just don't want that conversation. I want nothing to do yeah. with it unless I know it's a home run. And at this point, like, we've done it enough to where more of the law of attraction is starting to show up. And so think about this. You know, you can either go out and recruit dollars or you can attract them. And I really like the mindset difference between those two. I used to be a recruiter when I worked for a big brokerage here in town. My job was to go and recruit agents over. And I found that just doesn't work as well as attracting, right? So the proof is in the pudding, so to speak. If you go and you focus on finding a mentor, right? Mentors typically can provide some access to dollars. You reach out to your network on social media, phone calls, you get involved with, you know, some sort of real estate project to where you can kind of hang your hat on it. And you can, you know, rather than marketing on social media platforms, you can just post about it and, you know, get some intrigue from your sphere, right? That's the ultimate right there, because now people start reaching out to you and going, hey, what are you doing with this, you know, single family home? Or man, I've seen what you've done with this project. You know, tell me more about that. And that opens the door to the conversation. And especially in today's environment where, you know, folks are scared of the stock market. They're not sure what's going to happen. Yeah. People are sitting on a lot of dollars and they're looking to diversify, you know, and fortify some of their positions. So you just need to go out there and have the conversations, go, hey, I'm in real estate. I have some projects coming up. Any interest, no pressure, but any interest. So, I kind of went off topic.
No.
In regards to answering about the family member, but.
No, but this is perfect, yeah, that, Joe. No, and I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off because
No, feel free.
I love that idea because you in a way, and tell me if I'm wrong, you're building credibility by maybe posting something on social media like, hey, I worked on this deal and this, you know, you might not give obviously the numbers you got back, but you are building, I like that. So you're building credibility, people will see it and says, hey, what you working on or whatever. And then maybe, tell me if I'm wrong, the pitch could come a little later like, hey, I have this deal.
Yep.
If you're not interested, maybe you know someone who might. Is that, do I get the gist of it?
That's exactly it, right? I mean, you're Johnny Appleseed out there, right? You're sowing seeds and you're waiting to see what sprouts up. You know, if you're interested in getting into real estate investment, one really easy approach, go find a podcast, go find a page on Facebook, a group, mm-hmm. or something. And just start sharing the heck out of a couple of different avenues, you know, on social media in regards to real estate investment. Hey, I found this really great article about flipping your home. Hey, here's how kitchens return better than bathrooms. Hey, you know, and you start sharing it, right? Because you pick up some intrigue along the way. Then you yourself have to find a way to get into a project. Even if you're not making any money, you have to be a part of it, right? To show some validity. So find a project, find a way to get involved in a project, be a part of it, trade time for money, right? Go help out. You're just posting to get interest. You're not posting to market, right? And as a result, you'll have people start going, hey, you know, I've always kind of thought about doing that. Hey, tell me more about what you got going on. And then when you really start diving in and you're looking at acquisition potentials, then you can reach back out and go, hey, you know, we have this project coming up. I don't know if it's going to, you know, actually hit or not. Would you be interested if we did end up acquiring it? And if so, great. At what level? Right. And now you have some numbers to start working with.
I like that. I like the idea of sharing, because it's funny, Joe, that you say that, because on, let's say, Twitter and LinkedIn, which are two of the most pretty much the social media platforms I use, and on occasion Facebook, I do post articles. I might find something about Airbnb or short-term rental. Yep. And then I just post it up on Twitter I just post it. That's it. Put the link on and that's it. Yep. And it's funny because I started getting more and more people wanted to join my network just for me posting up articles. And on occasion on Twitter, I might type something like recently I was working with a seller in Orlando and I was trying to get seller financing terms. Well, he was interested, but he wanted 50% down. Well, that pretty much said, right. I said, I don't think that's going to work for me. But I did post that up, you know, on Twitter.
Yep.
I said, well, I'll probably come back another time and check up on him. So for you, Joe, if somebody wanted to get into real estate, but they didn't have the money, what kind of tips you could recommend? Is it possible to get into real estate with no money? Maybe not your own, as they say, right?
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Just one point in your last statement about sharing, right? Think about what you're doing for that individual or that entity when you share their content,
right?
I mean, just think about like where we are in our world, right? As much as you can promote and you can support and you can share other people's content, like it's a win all around in my opinion, right? So that's where the win is on, you know, a completely different level. Then it also creates opportunity for attraction. So I apologize to
No. That's no. Please, I love that. Yeah, right? No, it is important.
Yeah. So can you get in with zero money?
Right.
The answer is yes. You absolutely can. You have to find a way to build up your value proposition, right? Somebody has to take a look when you give them a call and you pitch an opportunity, there has to be enough value in what you have to say that they'll consider it. We've done lots of transactions with none of our own money. We also have the experience of being in the industry for 15 years now and focusing on investing for the last 8, you know. So we've already built up the populace and the criteria for attracting wealth, you know, some of these different partnerships.
Right.
So again, if you don't have any money, you have to find a way to pitch value on a project or to an investor to where you can now get involved, right? And it's at a base level for a lot of folks. Hey, do you need to go over and swing a hammer to get involved? Like whatever it takes sort of mentality, but you can absolutely do this with zero money. I promise you. If you're, you know, in charge of acquisition, you go find the project, you know, and then create the money flow into it. That's one way of going about it. Mm-hmm. But you know, at the end of the day, you just have to continue having conversations. You've got to turn over rocks and you have to start to understand where your network is, where your sphere is in regards to who has money and who's interested, right?
Right. No, I like that. So for you, Joe, one of the best things that I've heard and I liked is obviously building your credibility, building a team, joining Facebook group, LinkedIn group, Twitter, whatever it is.
Yep.
What do you think about when a lot of the experts, so-called experts, want their investors or their students to get into wholesaling. I tried it. I didn't complete any deal. I thought it was difficult. I thought it was like another job besides the full-time that I had. And now, you know, my real estate part-time business. I said, this is a third job and I don't want that.
Yeah.
What do you think when people, well, some people steer you towards wholesaling? Any opinion on that?
Yeah. You know, I think wholesaling is a great opportunity. And I also, we don't see it a lot up here in my market, to be honest. We are starting to see more and more of it. But it seems like it's caught fire down in the lower 48 to where everybody's doing it, right? Because again, it's arbitrage, right? You're making the middle. So I think it's a great opportunity, but I don't know that for me, since I haven't done it, I really can't speak to it. It's not my bread and butter, right. But I understand the concept. And I think it can be a great opportunity if you come across the right project and you have the database of investors to flip it over to, then yeah, all day long, go and, you know, scalp 2, 5, 10, 15, 20, whatever you can.
Sure, like
it makes absolute sense. But again, how do you get the database of investors? How do you get to a point where you're finding the deals?
Yeah.
Right? And that's all through attraction, in my opinion, right? It's through attraction and it's being the source for information, for deals, for opportunities, right? Because now everybody starts coming to you versus you having to go and chase down everybody.
I love that. So one question that I really was interested in is scaling and outsourcing your business.
Yep.
How soon or how late in your investing career do you do that? Like, when do you know is it time to scale and outsource? Everybody says outsource right away, get an assistant to do this and that. Should you have a couple of deals under your belt first, or maybe wait a couple of years? What does Joe Bell say?
there's no right answer because I'm not you and you're not me, right? So I think it's more more philosophical in response to where, you know, first you make the decision and then the decision makes you.
Right.
So it's all going to come down to your comfort level and really understanding your strengths, right? Right. For me, I am really good at offense. Defense is where I need help. I need somebody to help me with the budget. I need to help or have help keeping on track with some of the minor details, right? That helps me in my approach.
Right.
I can go and gather the offense. I can go and get the money. I can go and get the acquisitions. I can handle that piece. So understanding your strengths is a big part of that answer. So if you don't have money and you're trying to do this with zero money, then you cannot scale until you have money. So you have to go find a way to get into those projects to create some cash flow. And then from there, you can make that decision. You know, but some of the smaller things, you can go on Fiverr and you can find, you know, for very minimal expense, you can find folks that will comb through databases. They'll grab information about, you know, your bureau and, you know, tax information and be able to create a data source there for really minimal. But, you know, when it comes to bird dogging or anything along those lines, you can always create compensation within the deals.
Yeah.
So it's all about getting creative and it's more about understanding your strengths and, you know, where you should start to hand some of that stuff over and not control the whole thing because that's just going to hold you back.
Yeah. You know, I like that answer because one, you know, obviously you're being honest and being forthright of what's happening. But I think too, Joe, is just that I think a lot of people get steered wrong to the type of investments that they maybe right. want to do. And people will suggest something else. And like I said, with going back to wholesaling, like for me, it didn't work. Like I said, I just, you know, I didn't want to send out 1,000 letters or 1,500 letters and then trying to get a phone call in the middle of the day while I'm still at work. And so that didn't work. So having said that, what are some of the pitfalls that real estate investors can avoid if there is a pitfall they can't avoid. Or should I say mistakes? Is that a better phrase?
No, you know, man, had it not been for some of the pitfalls, I wouldn't know what I know today, right?
It's always learning from your mistakes. I love it. Yeah.
I mean, when you're looking at some of these programs that are out there from the experts, you're taking a package. It's a very concise package, right? And you're putting all these different types of personalities and people into this package, and it's just not going to work for everybody. And that's the baseline of what we're talking about here is, you know, what's going to work for you and what's going to help you progress in this real estate investment industry. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we're all different. And what works for me might not work for you, might not work for Bobby Sue, might not work for John, right? And so, you know, a lot of what I do when somebody comes to me and says, hey, I'm green, I want to get into this. Again, it is assessing the strengths. It's assessing their availability. It's assessing their database. It's getting a real good understanding of who that person is and how they operate. Mm-hmm. So from there, I can give them a much better, more clear path to investment. Then I can say, okay, wholesaling may work for you. You have the gift of gab. You can talk to anybody. Get your ass on those streets and start talking, right? the pitfall to me is basing your future activities on what somebody presents that worked for them, right? Now, when you solely rely on that input as your only path to success, that's a major pitfall in my opinion, right? And so, I've had so many folks that run into these programs and it doesn't work for them. But I think that there's a really good value opportunity in what these programs do offer. But before you go jumping into it and getting sold on it, I think you kind of have to get a little bit wet first before you really approach these things, because you can lose a lot of money if you don't know what you don't know getting into these things, right? So, find somebody that's doing it, find a mentor, have a conversation, get real, you know, raw and dirty about what real estate investment is, so you have a better understanding before you go jumping into it.
No, you know, it for me, Joe, I'm in my late 50s. When I started, becoming entrepreneurial, I was in my 40s. But Joe, for a period from like 2007 to about 2017, which I hate to admit, but I said that on a podcast, I was all over the place, Joe, because one, I wanted to do, and I'm blaming HGTV for this.
Right, totally.
You know, I wanted to do fix and flip. I wanted to do wholesale. I wanted to get into tax liens. And I was a real estate agent for less than a year. You know, it was like all over the place until late 2016, early 2017 that I said, oh my God, this is what I want to do, which is creative financing. And that was the niche that I picked. But you're absolutely right. It's like, what is it that you want to focus on? If you want to do wholesaling, like you just said, hey, go for it. If you got the gift of gab, right, then go for it. But my opinion is buy 100 books on wholesaling, listen to podcasts, talk to people like Joe Bell and anybody else that you know, that's a real estate investor, and then find your niche and then study it, stay with it, because you don't want to be like me. It like I said, 10 years, Joe, passed by. My first investment was a real estate stock. A real estate investment trust, I think in 2014, 2015. So again, all those years passed by, but you know what? It didn't work for me until 2016, 2017. Yeah. So I love how you put it down basically in words. Just pick that niche, work on it, and then if you become an expert, then you can outsource it, or like you said, you know, maybe scale it and outsource it.
Yeah.
So for you now, Joe, how is business with what's happening with the pandemic? Has business been affected at all for you guys?
William. So I had $950,000 lined up to fund at the end of March. Wow. For several projects we had going on. And that all went away. Like legitimately just went, I had notes due. And pulling back the curtain and being absolutely abstract here. Like we had to work hard on keeping those notes alive and also working to make sure those relationships were intact and work through it. And we're still not fully paid off on those notes, quite frankly. Right. Because, you know, as we've started to turn the corner, we've definitely made progress and we're seeing some of our investors come back in and, you know, we now have a much better understanding of what's going on and what we're willing to risk versus reward, you know? So that hurt. That was scary. And it was one of those scenarios where it's like, this too shall pass. If I keep doing the right activities, right? The activities that I know how to do, which are, you know, conversations, relationships, acquisition conversation. Like if I continue to focus on what I know how to do, then we're going to work through this. Right. And so the pandemic definitely took a toll right out of the gate. It was probably about 90 days of real true discomfort, uncertainty. And at this point, now we're almost back up to where, you know, we're rocking forward. We're still looking for more projects and we have projects coming up. We've got a big development that we're starting to work on. So it's come back, but it definitely took its toll out of the gate. And it was a beautiful opportunity for me to check my mindset and go, all right, all that crap you talk about having a strong mindset and being positive, here's your opportunity to check yourself on that. Wow. And it was a little bit of a wild ride right there, but we just, like I said, kept to it and kept doing what we know how to do, and ultimately it started paying off.
No, I love it. Well, I mean, I'm glad that you kept on, and obviously, just like you said, your mindset said, "The hell with this, I'm gonna plow forward." So, Joe, talk more about your business. Your book, Assets, Acquisitions, and Abundance. Talk more about the book. When did you write it, and who did you write it in mind for?
Yeah. So what's really funny is this book that you can now order and hold in your hands started as 8 bullet points. I put 8 bullet points together for a webinar, and I performed this webinar on camera, had it all good to go, sent it over to a gentleman I was working with on developing this webinar. And he came back and he goes, "Hey, Joe, man, I love you, but you're not a hard sales guy." And I was like, "Whoa, hold on. I'm really good at sales." You know? And he's like, "Yeah, but you're not going to sell this thing. Like, you're too nice. You have this approach that is more about attracting versus grabbing and putting in the seats." He's like, "So I would scratch the webinar." And I'm like,
"Really?
Huh. Okay. So now what?" You know, and he said, "Well, why don't we make an ebook?" Okay. So we took those 8 bullet points. I added some information around them. And in this time from transitioning from a webinar to an ebook, I ended up starting working with this gal that understands more about how to take a book to market. And so next was an ebook. And when this young lady read the ebook, she goes, "You know what? We should just make this a full book. Can you add some stories? Can you add some more information?" Right. And so this thing just kept growing and growing and growing. And it's been over the last probably about 9 or 10 months that we've gone from 8 bullet points to full blown edition paperback book, which is kind of funny. So for me in real estate investing, I start with assets because it's all about the asset. And that's not just businesses, structures, people. That is, what assets do you hold, right? And getting real, real comfortable with who you are, where your strengths are, and what your assets are before you start approaching acquiring any sort of asset. So for me, it's all about the assets. And it's not, I don't know that I'll ever be the big flashy, you know, we have a million doors, we make $1 million on each of our transactions.
Sure.
You know, for me, it's more, how do I help somebody get a leg up? How do I help somebody find a way to carve out an extra 10,000, 30,000, 50,000, 100,000, right? Like, that's more important to me than how to really spend time on trying to find the $1 million deal. Because I know that if I focus on base hits, they will add up.
Right? Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, so when I wrote this book, I wrote it at a very conversational level, a real straightforward approach. You know, real estate investing is sexy in nature, so it has that natural allure to it. But I wanted people to understand how to just, you know, take bite-sized pieces and go apply, you know, in the industry. And so that's what this book was built on, is really a very sensical, straightforward approach on where you can go and carve out 10,000 to 50,000 projects. Like, the basis for the projects are all the same, right? It's just a difference in numbers that you're really working with, you know? So, I was really just focusing on, you know, taking the, I don't want to say average person that's looking to get into the industry, but somebody that's excited about the industry that wants to find a way to carve out some money and, you know, start working towards either getting out of their job or, you know, purely just building an investment egg. Like, here's a straightforward approach.
Yeah, no, I love it. I definitely will put this on the show notes. And one more question before we let you go.
Yeah.
How did you get under the 40 under 40 in Alaska? Talk more about that. That's kind of cool.
So I just fell into a great opportunity. Timing was just perfect. When I was, let's see, I think I was 35 at the time or something along those lines. I had an opportunity to take over running a real estate brokerage. It was the biggest brokerage in the state of Alaska. Okay. And they did about $1 billion in production, which sounds super cool. And I can't take any credit for the number $1 billion because I had some amazing agents and real estate professionals that were working for the company. Right. I just kind of got to ride their coattails.
Sure.
Right. So as a result of being in my mid early 30s and running a $1 billion company, somehow that escalated to where they called me out as one of the top 40 under 40 that year.
Oh, cool. Hey, listen, hey, you work for a good company. It's okay, right?
Right. Yeah. Well, no, listen, it was cool.
Yeah. Well, listen, Joe, I mean, I could talk to you for another hour. This has been fascinating for me. If somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what's the best way?
Yeah, they can go to our website, legacybeyondlistings.com. Mm-hmm. And that website was initially built for helping real estate professionals mm-hmm. find a way to build a retirement outside of the game. And what I noticed in going through that was, well, unlicensed individuals, folks that aren't based on real estate transactions
right.
can apply all the same stuff, right? As a real estate professional, we're just more up close and personal and we see the inventory day in and day out, right? So they can go to legacybeyondlistings.com. We've got a case study on there that we put together that they can download, you know, or send us an email and, you know, from there we can schedule a call and, you know, see how we might be able to help them get involved in real estate investing.
No, it sounds good. Well, listen, Joe, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to us here at P2P Real Estate. I really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, no, this has been phenomenal. I appreciate your time. Thanks, William.
No, no problem. Thank you.
Okay, have a good one.
You too. Well, everyone, that was Joe Bell from LegacyBeyondListings.com. Joe, thank you so much for being on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Show. Really, really appreciate it. You can find me at peertopeerrealestate.com. That's peer2peerrealestate.com. Check out our past shows, our blog, and our resource page. Also, please go to Apple Podcasts. Look for us on Peer-to-Peer Real Estate Podcast. Please subscribe, leave a review, tell us how we can make this show better. And before I go, guys, just a couple of more things. Do not give up on your dreams. Fight for it. Protect it. Guard it. Don't let anyone talk you out of it. And I really believe if you keep the momentum going, good things will happen. Anyway, on behalf of Peer-to-Peer Real Estate, I'm Willie Morales. Until next time, thanks, everybody, and please stay safe. Bye.